This is Encounters, a dialogue that brings you multifaceted life stories you don't want to miss.
I think, for instance, just a jump into this industry when there's really no musical industry in China at all. And besides, I'm a lover of musicals, I personally have no single experience in how to produce a musical. I have no connection and I don't even know how to get started. I think I have some vague idea of what kind of musical would work, very vague compared to now. But that time, I think the musicals I should bring to China, because in the whole world, there is a tradition of localized Western musicals to local language. And also another gut feeling for me is, or also it's a principle we still stick to, is whether the story can resonate with Chinese audience. Even with the first weekend, four performances, and I find familiar faces coming back. There are people who went to see the first performance and they bring back their friends coming to see another performance on Saturday night or Sunday night. And that really gives me a lot of confidence. No, I may cry maybe at night in the most difficult time, but I never said I'm not going to work anymore tomorrow, no. Actually, I think the opposite. I think it will help as well. I've seen more and more possibility of using the musical form to do some crossover with traditional Chinese operas. Also, I think we will get more young people to get interested in both.
Hello and welcome to Encounters. I'm your host, Man Ling. In today's program, I continue my conversation with Yang Jiaming. She's the founder and CEO of the Beijing-based musical theater production company, Seven Ages. Western musicals first captured Jiaming's interest when she was a student at Peking University. Years later, when she was working as a venture capital analyst in Tokyo, she was struck by the popularity of musical theater in Japan. At that time, musicals were a relatively new form of entertainment in China, but Jiaming saw a great potential for their development in the Chinese market. Despite having almost no experience working in the theater industry, Jiaming gambled her own savings to set up her production company and introduce classic musicals to Chinese audiences. Looking back at the risky decision she made 8 years ago, Jiaming said it was one of the craziest things she has done in her life.
Okay, you called yourself in some other media coverage a rational, crazy person.
Rational realistics.
A rational realistic. That's the label you put on yourself. Can you explain more? Why you use that word to describe yourself? Tell me some crazy things you have done in life.
I think, for instance, just a jump into this industry when there's really no musical industry in China at all. And besides, I'm a lover of musicals, I personally have no single experience in how to produce a musical. I have no connection and I don't even know how to get started.
Was it difficult to register a cultural company like that?
No.
How much does it cost?
There is no threshold to register, but there is
investment.
But I need some kind of startup money to produce the first show.
Where did you get the money?
I think most of the money I saved from the 2 years working in the investment bank. I was paid well at that age.
It's your own venture capital.
Yes.
You put all your money into just the one thing, right?
Yeah.
What sort of criteria or standards you use to choose? Because we are importing things, cultural products from outside. You have to be sure that it fits our values.
Yes.
And the Chinese appreciation, the art appreciation, sort of a taste.
Yeah.
So The very first sort of show you introduced, was it based on this consideration that it's going to fit Chinese audience well and definitely it's going to be welcomed? How did you choose it? What's the name of your first show?
Man of La Mancha. It's based on Don Quixote.
Don Quixote, right? It's a household sort of a literature book.
Yes.
I think a lot of Chinese people have read that book.
Yes.
But they've never heard of this musical before.
Yeah.
And why you chose that to be the first one?
I think I have some vague idea of what kind of musical would work. Very vague compared to now. I think I have clearer idea now what kind of musicals would fit. But that time, I think the musicals I should bring to China, because in the whole world there is a tradition of localized Western musicals to local language. Like in Japan, they did Lion King in Japanese. In Korea, they did it in Korean. So there is a lot of statistic I can find. For instance, how does Lion King work in Japan? How does La Mancha work in Korea? That's one thing. And so Man of La Mancha, although it's not a famous or well-known title in China, but it did really well in Korea and Japan, and they are all Asian countries. It's always been the box office-wise top five shows in both Korea and Japan. So I think it might work in China as well.
But this is very vague.
Yeah, this is very vague at that time. And also another gut feeling for me is, or also it's a principle we still stick to, is whether the story can resonate with Chinese audience. So before I choose this title, I myself haven't read the script myself. It's recommended by our artistic director called Joseph Graves. When we first started musicals, I only have this money. Yeah, it's like 400,000 yuan. It's way enough to start up like a translation company, but to do a musical company, you can never produce a big show like Les Mis or Phantom. Yeah, you can only buy maybe a sound machine. That's all. Yeah, so we discussed we wanted to do musical, but which one we wanted to start it with. So my artist director recommended Man of La Mancha to me. His personal idea is this show is one of the best musicals in history. And also this show, we can do it big, but we can also do it small if we wanted to start it small. For instance, it could be done in a black box theater with like 200 seats. That can be done in that way. But at that time, I still think it's like a producer's way of thinking. Well, I still think we need to find a title that Chinese people are more familiar with. But all the titles we could think of, they're all those big names like Lion King, Cats. We can never do it in a small theater. And I said, if I'm as a musical fan, I never heard of Man of La Mancha. How could other Chinese people ever heard of this? Maybe there are only 10 people in the whole China heard of this. But thanks to my artistic director, he said, Ivy, why don't you read the book and listen to the music first and tell me what you think, whether the Chinese audience would love it or not. So I accept his advice and I read the whole script at that same night. And in the middle night, I finished. It's like 12:30 in the middle night and I called him. I was burst into tears. I called Joe and I said, let's do it. No matter how difficult it is, let's start with this. I really enjoyed the script.
He was your drama teacher at Peking University. And he had directed like 80 dozens of student dramas on campus.
Yes.
Are you one of the fans of the student dramas, Peking University?
Yeah, I was in the class.
You were in the class?
Yeah, I was in the class.
But you didn't act?
I don't.
You're just the audience? No,
no? I was like organize and design the poster.
It's the business side of activities.
Yes.
You got involved, right?
Yeah. But I don't like to perform myself. I was like, I always say I have stage fright myself. I will get really nervous when I was on stage myself, yes.
And your teacher helped you a lot, right? Yeah. I think as you mentioned that among the 45 class 2005 students of literature and language, you're the one who showed the trend of becoming a business person. And as an artist like him, his name is Graves, Joseph Graves. Yeah. He himself is an artist and actor. Mm-hmm. He acted actually in your first show, right?
Mm-hmm.
The La Mentra.
Oh, yes.
And artistic director of the mm-hmm. show. Do you think that he saw you, mm-hmm. the possibility of making his artistic talent going into Chinese market? That's why he wanted to help you.
I think so. Actually, back to college, we're not quite familiar with each other.
Because you were a mediocre student.
Yeah.
You were the quiet ones. Mm-hmm. But when you first approached him and told him the idea, what was his response?
When I first approached him, I never thought he will join me. I seek for his advice. I'm telling him, because when I decided I'm going back to China to do this, I have no connection at all. I don't know how to get started. So I remember, okay, there's a drama teacher, a Shakespearean drama teacher back in college, and I know he worked in Broadway and West End before. That's all I know about him.
You wanted to use his connections.
Yeah.
And ideas
and advice. Yeah, maybe he knows someone who can help me or who join me. So I approached him and I'm telling him the whole analysis I did and how I wanted to start the whole thing. He got really interested. He said we can do it together. He has two goals in his life. One is to introduce the Western theater to Chinese student, because in college in the West, they all have this theater courses, but in China, we don't have this theater courses embedded in our curriculum.
Yes.
So, and he brought this Shakespearean plays to Peking University and make a lot of students get exposed to Shakespeare plays and to theaters. So that's one. And another thing, after about 10 years of introducing this through the education channel, he said he always thinking maybe a more efficient way is to let people see the real good piece of theater, of plays, of musicals.
So that means the good theater or the mm-hmm. masterpieces should not be limited on campus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It should be shared by the society.
Yeah, yeah.
So this idea overlapped, just matched your dream and you two just hit off. And just tell me how difficult mm-hmm. at the very beginning. Because there are no ready base of audience over there. From zero, almost, you need to nurture, you know, audiences.
Yeah.
Nurtures musical fans.
Uh-huh.
How difficult?
As difficult as it could be.
As difficult as it could be.
Because
did you cry?
A lot.
Really? You cried a lot?
Yeah.
At the beginning.
Yeah, at the beginning.
Really?
Yeah.
How old were you? Only 25?
25. Because all the money went to the production itself.
Yes,
yeah, even not enough.
Copyright, right?
Copyright and rent the theater and make
props,
all the costumes and the props,
costumes,
everything. Yeah. And although I'm in the business, but I'm not a marketing person or salesperson, I don't know where to find the audience. So I find some like ticketing channels, like Da Mai or something, but even within the theater people, like people usually go to theaters, mm-hmm. they don't know the title. And before the show opens, I still remember we need to sell 4,000 tickets to get the money back and also to fulfill the theater. It's a 250-seater. Yeah. 4,000 people. And I think we only sold maybe 500 before the show opens. Yeah. So the first weekend is really difficult. But what gives me my strong confidence is even during the first weekend, we only have like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, only 4 shows. We have one matinee in Saturday, so we have 4 shows. So even during the 4 performances and with sometimes the audience is less than the performers. Even with that, because we have no other employees, so I was greeting the audience every day myself and giving them exchange tickets with them. And even with the first weekend, four performances, and I find familiar faces coming back. Yeah, there are people who went to see the first performance and they bring back their friends coming to see another performance on Saturday night or Sunday night.
Okay.
Yeah. And that really gives me a lot of confidence. And I had conversation with them. I asked, why you come back? They said, I really like the show and the story really touches me and I want to bring friends to come to see the show and I wanted to listen to the music again myself. So even there's no publicity at all, there are people want to come back again and bring more friends. So I think this would work. I need to find a way to get the message out, to tell people to come to see the show.
So it's the applauses, the reaction, feedback from your audiences.
Yeah, give me that, a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I was thinking whether, you know, because it was like a nightmare. And then have you ever thought of, during the old 7 year, you know, long year, have you ever thought of giving up? No, never.
No, I may cry maybe at night, in the most difficult time, but...
You have confidence.
Yeah, but I never said I'm not going to work anymore tomorrow. No,
Okay, so the first show is spread by the word of mouth.
Not really. I know the word of mouth will be great, but the seed people, they're too small. They're
only 500
people in total. Yeah. So another thing I tried but failed is I find a lot of newspaper media.
That's the old media.
Yeah, old media. And
didn't work well.
That didn't work at all.
That the print media is fading out, actually.
Yeah. Then I got a new idea because the Weibo, the Chinese Twitter, just get started. It's in 2012.
Something very new.
Yeah, and there are people, a lot of key opinion leaders, they have millions of followers. And I said, okay, maybe this would work much better than newspapers. But I personally know no one, no stars, no key opinion leader. So I spent a few days studying this Weibo thing. And I searched musical, the word. Mm-hmm. And it just came into my mind that if I can invite some of the key opinion leader who has a genuine love of musical or who have seen musicals abroad before, like you. If I can find a way to find people like you and maybe you have a lot of fans and these people, if they come to see the show and they recommend it, then there will be more people knows about the show.
They become your salespeople.
Yeah. Because I've already know that people would love it from the first weekend.
Yeah, about your product.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I spend a few days, 3 days, I didn't even sleep, I think. I did research and then I came up a list. This list is, I find, 10 to 20 key opinion leader, and I'm sure these people has mentioned about musical before in their Weibo, you know.
You're fishing in the great ocean of Weibo, Twitter.
Yeah. Mm. So I send them message. But most of them don't reply because who are you? And they get a lot of messages every day.
Yeah.
But one day there's one person replied and asked me where the show is. Can I get 2 tickets? That really boosts my confidence. And then I spend more time in other people. And even I find some kind of rules of when you send the message will be most efficient. Like if it's during the day, people don't have time. And
the timing.
The timing is very important. But if you send it very early, 5 or 6, it might be the first message they saw. And if it's musical and it's a show invitation, and if your words interest them, they will reply. Uh-huh. Yeah. So using that method, I invited 4 or 5 key opinion leader to see the show. They all enjoyed it and they all posted a Weibo recommending the show. So it's only 3 weeks, right? 3 weeks of performance. And the first week is a disaster. The second week is better. The last week people can't buy tickets at all.
You got the money back.
Yeah, I just make break even.
The first project is just the even, right?
Yeah.
You didn't make profit.
Yeah.
But that's good enough already.
Yeah, that's good enough. Yeah. At least I survive. And it takes me to the second step. But for the 3 weeks, it's like I'm running with the time.
Let's talk about your target audience. If your target audience is me, okay? Let's just assume if it's me, I think I would prefer totally original shows instead of being adapted or localized with the scripts changed to suit Chinese background, even jokes. I know as a student of language, we both are, the most difficult to understand is humor.
Yeah.
When the foreigners were cracking jokes, because we don't have the shared knowledge, right? They were cracking jokes. They were laughing, you know, with tears. We were like, what's so funny, right? But I understand. In Japan, in Korea, is France. You saw, and by your analysis, that localization of Broadway or Western, you know, West End, okay, it's the British, works very well. But that's for the great masses of the Chinese people or the local people, because they don't speak English.
Yeah.
For people like me, I speak English. I'm a fan of musicals. I know almost every big ones, I mean. Do you think there's a conflict of localizing your shows or keeping the original flavors of it? It depends on who are your target audience. Who do you want to reach most? We talk about accessibility. Definitely your dream is to, you know, have as many people to be accessible to the best musicals in the world as possible. But do you have a dilemma in what to do, what to be introduced, and how it's going to be presented on Chinese stage?
I think the dilemma existed in the first 2 years. We had a lot of discussion in between ourselves about whether we should turn it into Chinese or not. Although we know that the localization works very well in Japan and Korea, but I'm an English literature major, and even with that, I doubt whether if it turns into Chinese, whether it will lose the flavor, lose some of the beautiful essence of it. So actually, the first small theater piece of La Mancha, we did it in English.
It's the original, the very original, right? No changes?
Yeah, no changes. It speaks the same in English, but with some really good English-speaking actors. Yeah, some of them, like Joe there, he was like a native speaker, but some of them, they are Chinese who can speak or sing in English very well. So that means we didn't make the final decision to localize it at that stage of our company. Then there's one audience really changes the whole thing. This girl called Vivi, at that time is still the third year student at Tsinghua University, and her major is biology. And after she saw La Mancha, after the show, she came to me, said, could I have a minute of your time? And she said, I really enjoy the show, but I think you should turn it into Chinese and it will embrace more audience. And I said to her, I think yes, that's always in the back of my mind, because there's one thing I'm sure is if it's in mother language, it will expose to much mass market instead of only the elite market, you understand? But I told her my concern is if I turn it into Chinese, whether or not would I lose the beauty, the rhythm, the beautiful dialogue, or even the jokes in the show. And she told me that although she was still a college student, but she said she spent 6 or 7 years in translating musicals.
Really?
Into Chinese, yeah.
Okay.
And she studied the Masters of Localization in Japan and Korea as well. Although she was quite young, she was like 20 when we first met each other. But she has started this thing from 14. You understand? But it's a hobby for her at that time.
The first time she came to your show to watch Le Mantra, how old was?
20, I think.
20-something. Already graduated?
Yeah. No, third year.
And after graduation, she joined you?
Right after graduation. Yeah. She has the opportunity to get a master's degree in Tsinghua, but she gave up.
Is she still the translator of your company
yes,
now?
Yes, she is. She did a good job. Yeah.
Because translation is so important.
Yeah. So this person, she needs to know the musical very well and the music in it very well.
Yeah.
And she needs to have a solid knowledge of English. And also, her master of Chinese language is very important.
Yes, indeed. So, do you yourself still get involved in looking at the scripts or whatever? No.
Oh, no, of course. Of course I do.
Every one of them?
Yeah. I need to make which shows we are going to produce, make the decision.
Yeah,
so
of course.
Before that, I need to read carefully of the script and listen to the music. And also, after the translation is done, we need to discuss
so actually
about
you are in charge or overseeing the whole process from the idea to the production and then to audience marketing to everything.
Because they're a whole, you can't divide them. For instance, if all your energy is put in the sales and marketing and you ignore the product itself, then it wouldn't work.
Right.
Yeah, and all the marketing ideas should come from the product itself.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing is like they can't be divided. So as a producer, you need to organize the whole process.
How many productions have you made so far?
Eight.
Yeah. Eight productions. Mm-hmm. Are you satisfied with your audience base?
Never satisfied.
what are you doing to improve or to enlarge? Because the audience base is still not big enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You want to do bigger. Mm-hmm. You're the eight altogether shows that you have introduced to you are small theater ones, right? Smaller scale ones.
Not all of them.
Which one is the biggest?
The ones has like Sound of Music.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And then I heard of the great show of Lion King is already on your list of productions. Oh,
yeah.
Have you already finished producing and, you know, doing it? Because it's a huge project backed up by investors, right? You got the money.
Yeah.
And you got the script, copyright.
Mm-hmm.
You got everything. Is it a localized one?
It will be both. We will do the English first, then followed by
English
the Chinese.
First, you use the original crew?
Yes, yes.
And then localize them by using Chinese actors and actresses?
Yeah. So in the future, maybe we can serve you and the mass markets at the same time.
That's very ambitious. But it's postponed by the COVID-19.
Yes.
Do you have a timetable? Can you see?
Oh, no, we're discussing early 2022. So
early 2022.
Yeah.
It took so long, huh? Several years.
Because it could never happen this year, right?
No.
And the next year, we still need to see when it could. Mm-hmm. So I think we plan it for 2022 will be more for sure. So we don't have to change again.
When I was back from the UK in 2004, I didn't see such a musical market.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my daughter was like, we have to give up, you know, this hobby.
Uh-huh.
And we were like lamenting, oh, how poor a life. But then in the year 2007, maybe around that year, 2005, China's musical market started to bloom. You came in a few years later after you graduated, 2012.
Yeah.
I think it's like a parallel. Mm-hmm. One is represented by you guys introducing the best ones from the world into the country.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another group of people, maybe smaller production people.
Mm-hmm.
They produce their original Chinese stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of them is Sam Bao. And he has written a lot of musicals so far, on top of other, you know, musical pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I think two stands out. One is Butterfly. The other is Piano in a Factory.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very good story, already made into a movie, TV series. Mm-hmm. I want to know that how do you compete with people, musical people, who are promoting the originals. Are you competitors, I mean? Because the market is yet to be nurtured or, you know, to cultivate. Maybe you can coexist and doing, or maybe one day, do you have an idea to produce your own, you know, original story?
I don't see we're competitors. I think we're expand the market together, but in a different way. And the answer to the second question is yes, we're going to produce original musicals ourselves. Because as I mentioned, my deepest dream is someday we can create like a product can compete to Lion King, to Les Mis. That's always in the back of my mind. But we wanted to take it slow. We wanted to be patient.
We don't have this musical fan base there yet. How do we make it like the first one? You send out a message from people you know and from Weibo, you know, KOL, key opinion leaders, right? And using social media platforms. But they are not enough. I will give you a personal experience. I was invited as a journalist to a children's show of Qingyao one day. And I asked the teachers who brought a whole class to the show and also the producer of that show. And the message of the reality is that the Chinese parents were not willing to pay for that show, only 30 or 40 kuai. But that time, parents would pay the same amount of money for a picnic McDonald's trip instead of a show.
I think parents, maybe they changed. I think 70% of our audience, they are families. Their parents bring their parents or their parents
bring... It's already different.
Already different.
It's changed,
The average ticket each family pays for, like, for instance, some music, according to our statistic, is 1,000 yuan. It's either 1,000 yuan for two tickets or three tickets, but the average, each single family, they pay 1,000 yuan
year?
For a show. The average, it's not 40, 30 anymore. Yeah, it's 1,000 for a show, but it's maybe two people or three people.
How much have you done or what sort of efforts have you been made to make the shows affordable? Because in Japan, in UK, where, you know, we first exposed to these musicals, they are all affordable to ordinary people, average income people. Affordability is one thing. Accessibility is another. Affordability and accessibility are interrelated. If it's cheap, more people can pay and can have a look. And if more people pay, there are more production people like you to put shows on stage. So in terms of to increase accessibility for people, it's one of your dreams, right? And also make it affordable. What specific efforts have you been making?
First, localize it.
Yes.
So people can access to the best shows in maybe one third of the ticket price
the
of
cost.
The cost. So that's why, another reason why we stick to localization as well, but not only reason. And the second, just do all the things you can to make people aware of musicals. For instance, like Shen Ru Ren Xin, it's a
The Super Vocal. It's a voice competition show.
Yeah, but
you went there as one of the judges.
Yeah. And there are performers, musical performers, who are our leading actors in that variety show, and that really makes Chinese audience more aware of musical, the form. So the more mass
some of
media.
The best media, popular TV, television shows. Right?
Television show, just either we can sing a song or we can perform a piece of the work. We will seize all these kind of opportunities to get more exposure of musicals. That's one way. And another way is we do a lot of social media thing, like before we do like a Weibo, WeChat promotion. Now we do like video promotion, like in Bilibili, in Bizhan. There are a lot of young audience based in Bizhan. And I have a lot of new hope in this musical industry because, for instance, not even to mention about musical, but like Hamilton, it's only popular in America, I thought.
Yeah.
It's more like America's Founding Fathers story, right?
Politician.
And it's the music form is hip-hop and so forth. So we would never think it will be a hit in China. But when the live video of the show came up in Bilibili earlier this year, it's very, very popular mm-hmm. among young people. So that will give them a chance to embrace not only Hamilton, but also embrace the form of musical. So they might not have seen a musical before, but through Hamilton, they may be like me 10 years ago when I first saw Cats. So I developed an interest in finding out more things like Cats, you know.
It's so like things, an education, right?
Yeah.
Do you go to schools?
Yes, a lot. We went to high schools and middle schools, even kindergarten. We did a lot of activities and lectures. And we also help school teachers to organize like a drama group among students, and we license the education rights, for instance, of Sound of Music, of Matilda, to those schools.
And
so we just do whatever we can do just to let the younger generation to get familiar with this form at a very early age. We didn't innovate this, we just put a lot of time and energy into this. So I think to reach the market is a long time thing, and you need to put your hands really into the earth.
Okay, let me ask mm-hmm. the final question mm-hmm. that musicals to me mm-hmm. is a popularized genre
yeah.
of art evolved from the more classic
yes.
aristocratic elite sort of mm-hmm. Consumption like mm-hmm. in the old times, mm-hmm. only the rich, the mm-hmm. elite, the aristocratical mm-hmm. families mm-hmm. would have like operas mm-hmm. and enjoy. Mm-hmm. But this one, actually mm-hmm. musical, is mm-hmm. the new form mm-hmm. to popularize mm-hmm. the art of music in order for ordinary people, the mm-hmm. masses, mm-hmm. to be able to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And it can be considered as a borderless mm-hmm. art form mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it is getting popular
yeah.
in countries with mm-hmm. different cultures. Mm-hmm. But does this new form, mm-hmm. the emergence of musical, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. new form of music art, conflicts with the preservation mm-hmm. of traditional forms of art, like uh-huh. Peking opera, like Shaoxing uh-huh. opera, like actually Huang Mei?
Uh-huh.
We have all sorts of, they
yeah.
are also, singing sort
yeah.
of art,
uh-huh.
right? Do you think that musicals in the future are going to squeeze
no.
their survival mm-hmm. space?
Mm-hmm. No, I think the opposite. I think it will help as well. I've seen a lot of more and more possibility of using the musical form to do some crossover with traditional Chinese operas. And to be frank, we're discussing that just last week, because we're going to do Man of La Mancha again. It's like a 9th anniversary version of it.
The 9th anniversary?
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
time in Chinese?
Yeah, still in Chinese, but we wanted to do a very special version and to do some crossover with Yuezhi. Yeah. I think
heard my claps. It's a cycle. It's a beautiful cycle.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
started from the very yeah. foreign, exotic, mm-hmm. something imported,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
something non-Chinese at all.
Mm-hmm.
And after 9 years, a yeah. circle.
Yeah.
You come back. You
yeah.
want to do it again.
Yeah.
Your
mm-hmm.
first show
yeah.
in Chinese
mm-hmm.
with Shaoxing opera elements mm-hmm. in it.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Why Shaoxing opera, not Peking opera?
That's a secret now. Yeah, we're
okay.
still under pre-production discussion,
okay,
but there
okay.
are some Yuezhi opera singers really interested, and probably we will turn it into all-female cast and experiment.
Yeah,
I think it will be very interesting crossover.
Opera mm-hmm. in the good old times mm-hmm. were acted by female actors.
Yes.
And then Peking opera in the old times, it's all, you know, like a man acting women's roles. They are two very interesting genres of opera in China. And we do have Huang Mei, and we do have Kun Qu. Hopefully one day you're going to bring all these elements into your new productions.
Yeah, let's do more experiments.
I appreciate what you told me so much, because I am afraid that they're going to conflict and to squeeze each other's market. But on the other hand, they're actually enhancing each other.
Yeah. Also, I think we will get more young people to get interested in both.
Because the more you're exposed to music, whatever genres of music, your love for music increase, and your ability to enjoy music will increase. And then, wow, that's a very bright future.
Yeah,
good luck.
Thank you. Yeah, wish you all the best.
Thank you for coming to our show.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
The Impossible Dream is the most popular song from the Broadway musical Man of La Mancha, which was also the first show Zhang Ming introduced into China. The lyrics of the song go, "To dream the impossible dream, to run where the brave dare not go, to reach the unreachable star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far." This song suits Zhang Ming well. In her story, I saw a brave woman who has never stopped pursuing her dreams. She told me that she has an even more ambitious dream on the horizon, which is to make a great Chinese musical theater that she can introduce to the rest of the world. Hopefully one day I will have the chance to speak with her again, and I can hear about how she made that dream a reality. And that's the end of our show. I'm Man Ling. Thank you for joining me. Be sure to visit chinaplus.cri.cn and look for Encounters, where you will find other episodes of the show, along with Man Ling's journals about our interviews.